what I'm after. It's changing every day.
This is Bizarro. For the next hour, be prepared to be entertained, energized, and informed with wacky, crazy, witty, funny news stories that'll make you laugh, maybe cock your head to the side and go, huh? Along with our wacky stories, I'll give you some up-to-date info on live music events and drop some songs along the way. Get ready to have some fun and take a little laughter break. Bizarro with DJ Hafo. All right. Thank you, everybody. Again, this is Bizarro with DJ Hafo here on radio.dominican.edu. Thank you for tuning in on this fine Tuesday here on April Fool's Day. I won't be playing any pranks for you on this show. I promise I will tell you nothing but the truth on all these crazy and outrageous news stories coming up here. And we're going to take a break and do some live music updates as well and talk about Outside Lands and some new artists, specifically one artist that has a show coming up, and we're going to talk about that artist quite a bit. So, but to start things off today, Bill Murray actually stopped a bank robbery in Tokyo. And what was hilarious about it was completely by accident. Bill Murray was walking down the street in Tokyo when a man came who was running very quickly with a bag, ran right past him, turned around and came back to him and asked him if he was the man from Caddyshack. Sorry, I could not think of the name there. And Bill Murray said, yes, I am. And so the man wanted to stop and talk to him for a while. And so they started talking and he told him how much of a big fan he was and everything like that. And out of nowhere, the police came and tackled him, to Bill Murray's surprise, too, because he had no idea the man had just robbed a bank. So I think that is absolutely hilarious. Bill Murray is just one of the funniest men alive, and I think that is just hilarious how he could be put in such a awkward circumstance where he stopped a bank robbery just for being Bill Murray. I think that's completely awesome, and go Bill Murray. That's just hilarious. Our next news story, a porn star named Val Midwest heads to jail for a nude photo shoot at a Catholic school. So Valerie Dodds, known to her fans as Val Midwest, began serving a 45-day sentence on Wednesday in Lancaster County Jail. The problem was is she took her nude photos on her old high school campus, which also happened to be a Catholic school. Which is fairly frowned upon, I'd say that, because, for one, that's private property. For one, I don't agree with what she did at all, because I have no problems with anyone deciding to do that with their life. Pornography, if you want to do that, go ahead. But what I do have a problem with is it's private property. She was doing it basically as an act of revenge for people making fun of her and stuff like that. So I don't think that's the greatest way to go about revenge, because that is clearly illegal. Even I knew that was illegal, and I didn't and I don't do porn. So I think that's a very weird way of going about getting revenge on the high school for all your bullying and stuff like that, because again, it's private property. You need to respect someone's property. You wouldn't want someone coming over to your house and taking pornography pictures at your house. So why do that to someone else's property? It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And unfortunately, people just do some crazy things when they're angry, and it's very, very unfortunate. Just why of all things too, it's a Catholic school. You'd expect that there would be some definite repercussions from that. Up next, we have a teenager in Hull, Georgia, that has reportedly become a big spender after mistakenly receiving a $31,000 bank deposit. And the problem is, First Citizens Bank wants the money back, and no doubt. So, the brouhaha started March 7th when a man with the same name as the 18-year-old attempted to deposit $31,000 at a branch in Madison County, Georgia. Because of a teller error, the money was put into the account of the teenager instead of the depositor. About 10 days later, the man noticed the money was not in his account. He contacted the bank, which finally figured out who was credited with the cash. The teenager apparently recognized the error much sooner. Records show that he had withdrawn $20,000 in cash and spent another $5,000 using his debit card before the bank figured out what happened. The teenage spendthrift visited the bank on March 18th, attempting to withdraw more money from the account, but a teller informed him of the bank's mistake. So, see, this is the thing. Obviously, the teenager is very at fault here, but I think the bank definitely needs to step up and say, okay, it's our bad, we shouldn't have done that. But as a teenager, I don't think I would ever, if I just saw $31,000 randomly deposit into my account, I would think that there was definitely an error and call my bank. As much as I'd want to spend the money, morally, I would not be able to do so because I know that was probably someone else's money. So, hopefully the bank is taking every step, because they were the ones that made the mistake. So hopefully the man who originally deposited the money gets all of his money back, despite the teenager having spent most of it. So it said the account was frozen to prevent further withdrawals. And the teen told authorities he'd resolved the issue at the branch to avoid jail time. As of Wednesday, he has yet to return to the bank. So I guess things are not completely sorted out right now. So, unfortunately, I don't know if that's actually a crime on the teen though, because he just suddenly noticed that he had $31,000 extra in his account, so he just went on a spending spree. I don't think you can charge him for doing that. He didn't know that it was someone else's money, per se. Though, at the same time, again, morally, I would know that there was definitely an issue there, because who just puts $31,000 into an account? Unless I had some guardian angel over me, but highly unlikely. All right, our next news story is about a crazy ex-girlfriend. So a Utah woman is facing a slew of charges after police say she tried to set fire to her ex-boyfriend's house. What's hilarious about this story is she was so drunk, the way she decided to try to burn down the house was that she decided to put a huge bundle of bacon on a cookie sheet and put it in the oven on high and just let it burn. And the best part about this story is her last name is Crispy. So I think that's quite hilarious. Nice little pun there. So her name is Miss Crispy. Well, her first name is Cameo. So Cameo Crispy put a pound of bacon on a cookie sheet and put it into her ex-boyfriend's oven and set it to high and just sat there and waited for it to burn. See, the thing is, she didn't leave the house, so I don't know what the problem with that was, because if you're burning down the house, you don't really want to be in the house. And when police found her, she had a point alcohol level of 0.346. So that is very, very drunk. That is over three times the legal limit. Well over three times the legal limit. So that is... I mean, who wants to burn down a house by bacon? That's for one, a waste of bacon. Why would you want to waste the bacon? And two, it's not a good way of going about it. And she stayed inside the house. So a very drunken mistake that just... It blows my mind that someone could even do that. Because you're wasting so much bacon. That's not cool at all. All right, our next news story is a man was freed after 15 years for robbing a shoe store. So a man went to jail for 15 years after robbing a Stride Right in Toms River, New Jersey. And after 15 years, he goes back and tries to rob the same store and gets arrested again. So here's the story. Christopher Miller robbed the Stride Right shoe store in Toms River, New Jersey in 1999. Got caught, served 15 years in state prison. Police say he became a free man on Friday and celebrated by catching a bus to Toms River and, yes, robbing the same Stride Right shoe store. Though he had 15 years to stew over what went wrong the first time, authorities say that this robbery didn't go so well either. Two employees were so slow in handing over the cash that the agitated robber grabbed the register drawer himself and fled on foot. They called the cops, and the apparent plan was to tie them up in the storage room, as happened in the 1999 robbery, but the employees just refused to go. I think that's so funny. He had absolutely no power over the employees, so when he said, "Hey, get in the back, I'm going to tie you up," they just said, "Nah, nah, thanks, I'd rather not do that." I think that is probably the funniest part about the whole story, is he just had no power in this situation. It doesn't say here if it was an armed robbery, but you never know. You never know. And I think that is just probably one of the most dumb things I've ever heard, because at least go to a different store or something. I mean, I guess he had 15, like they said in the story, that they, he had 15 years to stew over what went wrong and how to improve on his robbery plannings, but he clearly didn't. I mean, I just don't see why he would do that. My guess is that he, after he was set free, he just didn't even care anymore and just probably either wanted to go back to jail or just didn't care enough to even try. So you never know. You never know with some people. People are just downright crazy sometimes. And to think that he just went back to the same store is just creepy in some way. That means he'd been thinking about it for very long, or all of those 15 years. That is just insane. So this one's more of a happy yet kind of strange news story coming up here. A cupcake machine opened up in New York City to satisfy 24-hour cravings. So it's basically a cupcake vending machine, or cupcake ATM, which is really cool. Here's the story. A 24-hour vending machine that dispenses gourmet cupcakes opened for business this week on Manhattan's Upper East Side, and locals are lining up despite the wintry temperatures for a taste. "It's so fun," said Melissa Martelli, a school teacher and neighborhood resident, as she nibbled on a cinnamon sugar cupcake she bought from the machine. "You could just go in the store and wait in line, but this is just so cool." And I agree. I totally agree. I think if I had the option to buy a cupcake out of a vending machine versus going inside of a store, I totally would, because that is just a novelty right now. And I don't fully understand how that works, because, like, preservation of the cupcakes, I wouldn't want to eat a 24-hour-old cupcake either, so I wonder how they keep it updated and everything. But that's a very cool idea, to have a cupcake vending machine, and they're probably going to make a lot of money. It says they're $4.75 a pop, or $4.25 a pop, apologies, and so that's quite expensive for a cupcake, because I know you can go to, like, Safeway or Whole Foods or something and buy probably a dozen of them for under $10, so for $4.25 a piece, that's quite expensive. But then again, they're probably gourmet cupcakes, because those are delicious. So I'd definitely pay $4.25 to at least get the experience out, because that's a really cool deal. I like that a lot. So up next, we have last week, or I believe it was last week or 2 weeks ago, we talked about the man who, the father of a daughter who threw a party in his house, and he just claimed ignorance to the whole party going on, and he just sat in the corner and he was asleep, according to what he was saying. Yeah, unlikely. But a similar situation happened this week with a mom hiding in the bedroom at a teen party. So, not that unusual. Cops show up to bust a teen party involving booze and find someone hiding in a bedroom. Unusual, the person is the home's 56-year-old owner and mother to the 18-year-old who threw the party. Police say they arrived at the home in Naples, Florida, just after midnight yesterday to find beer cans, bottles, and pot in the yard. As they approached, the partiers went inside, shut all the lights off, and after the police knocked on the door, with the assistance of two girls who were keeping Mariel Wynand, who is the 18-year-old throwing the party, with the assistance of the two girls who were keeping her upright, said police, and passed along her mom's cell phone number. The police rang her mother, who said she was unaware of the party and out of town. She gave them the okay to break up the party, which they moved inside to. And that's when they say they found her hiding in the corner of her room. I think that is so funny. I guess you just shouldn't put your parents in those kind of situations, and because she's actually being charged for selling to minors. 26 counts of selling, giving, or serving alcohol beverages to persons under the age of 21. 26 counts. That is a lot. That is a lot. So that is terrible for the mother, and I think, obviously, she should not have allowed a party to go on at her house, but I think a lot of this is put on the daughter, because, honestly, if you're an 18-year-old throwing a party, I think you should know that the parent of the party is responsible for that. The mother didn't even buy the alcohol. She didn't supply the alcohol, but since she was the only one that was 21 and over at the party, it says that she is now charged with 26 counts of giving, selling, or serving alcohol beverages to people under 21. So that is terribly sad for the mother, but a poor decision by her too, as well. So very sad story for the mom, but she definitely should have at least, I don't know, at least kept it quieter. If you're there as a parent, you should at least try to quiet the party down to the point where the cops don't have to come. I don't know. It's a stupid story. All right, our next news story. A Brooklyn man with diabetes says a local movie theater called police when he refused to throw out the strawberries he brought into the venue. Michael Cass says he's a type 2 diabetic who has to maintain a healthy diet in order to keep his blood sugar in balance. He didn't think twice about taking some berries into a Sunday showing of Divergent at Pavilion Theater in Park Slope. But a ticket taker spotted the strawberries during a routine bag check and told Cass he couldn't bring them in. Cass explained the situation and the movie manager asked him to throw out the strawberries. Cass said he asked for a refund, but the manager refused. So he continued along with his original plans and went into the theater. I probably thought I was calling her bluff, he said. I didn't think in a million years that they would actually call the cops on me for bringing strawberries into a movie theater. He says he doesn't hold a grudge, but he's still stunned about some strawberries turning into a main attraction. He hopes it will now shine a spotlight on the necessity for healthier snacking options at the theater. Now, see, here's what I think about this. It should be totally okay for a man with diabetes to bring in some healthy food. I understand that you don't want someone to bring in, like, candy or popcorn or something like that, like things you offer there. But let's be honest, movie theaters do not offer healthy options. And if this man needs to eat healthy because of otherwise he could get sick, that is a totally reasonable, like, response to not purchasing things in the movie theater. The movie theater is not losing any money because he brought in strawberries, because he wasn't going to buy anything anyways. So I think it's just totally ridiculous that they would actually call the police on the man. It says no charges were given or anything because the guy brought in strawberries. He's not doing anything that's hurting anyone else. He's not stealing money from somebody, or he's not taking away any business. Like I said, he wasn't going to buy anything anyways. Just let the man bring in his strawberries. But I agree. I think there definitely should be healthier food choices at the movie theater, because when you go to a movie theater, you're almost pressured to eat unhealthily because there is nothing there but, like, buttery popcorn that's probably, like, 2,000 calories a handful, candy, slushies, just pizza, pretzels, nachos. They got all that weird stuff there. And I get it's cool because you want to munch when you're watching a movie, but still, they should offer something healthy, because it's clearly an issue that needs to be resolved. All right, our next news story. A woman abandoned as a newborn 27 years ago in Allentown, Pennsylvania, a fast food restaurant bathroom has been reunited with her birth mother after a social media blitz. Catherine Depril left in a Burger King bathroom only hours after she was born, met her birth mother on Monday in a lawyer's office. Depril said her mother, who she did not identify, recounted getting pregnant after being raped while on a trip abroad and giving birth to her childhood in her childhood bedroom at the age of 17. Her parents didn't know she was pregnant, and she was afraid to tell them, she said. She left me somewhere she knew I'd be found. She did not want to just throw me away, she told the station. Depril took the baby to Burger King because it was crowded, and she knew the newborn would be found quickly. So, basically, obviously what happened is the mother just wanted to... She didn't want to throw away the baby. She wanted to give it life, but she was too young to take care of it. And so she put it in a public place. Now, I'm not saying that's a good thing to do, but it's certainly a lot better than the alternative of just throwing it away completely, because that would be horrible. So, luckily, she gave it... At least she's alive today. That's what I'm trying to say. At least she's alive today. Granted, that could have been handled a whole lot better, but... And it says her parents didn't even know she was pregnant, which is kind of hard to believe, because it's kind of obvious when people are pregnant, but I guess you never know. Some people with body types and stuff like that just don't don't show it as much. So, but 17 years old is way too young to be taking care of a child, in my opinion. So I understand why she'd be freaked out about it, but I would have really consulted her parents about it or something, or given it to up to adoption center or something, not just leaving it into a Burger King. But at least she's alive today, and they've met up, which is awesome. And she, basically how she was found was Depril uploaded a picture onto Facebook and with a sign that said, "Looking for my birth mother. Please help me Please help me find her by sharing this post. Maybe she will see this." And luckily, after a few days, I believe she did. And so they met up through a lawyer, and now they're talking, which is great, which is awesome, because I think everyone deserves to know who their parents are and at least talk to them, you know? Some people don't want to, and that's totally respectable, but again, very happy ending to the story. They met up, and they've chatted and everything, so absolutely fantastic. Alrighty, I think we're going to take a quick break here, and when we get back, we're going to talk about Outside Lands and all the great things going on with that, and also an upcoming concert, and we're going to talk about the artist at that concert a little bit. So, coming back to you, we're going to play some of Band of Horses. The song is called The Funeral. Apologies on the technical difficulties. We're going to try to get that going again. We're having some difficulties with cabling over here.
Coming up only to
All right, that was The Funeral by Band of Horses. I actually got the chance to see Band of Horses at Outside Lands last year, I believe, and they were quite incredible. Really hit those high notes, and they had a great connection with the crowd. Absolutely delight to see. So this week on the live music portion of the show, we're going to talk about an artist that's coming to San Francisco that I'm very excited about, and I'm going to talk quite a bit about the artist. So Kid Cudi is coming with G-Eazy to Bill Graham Civic Auditorium Friday, May 23rd. Now, I was so excited when I got the notification for this on my phone. I have this app called Songkick where it scans my music library and tells me when I have upcoming artists, when an artist that it's in my library is coming to the San Francisco area. So I was so excited to see that notification pop up because Kid Cudi is one of my favorite like hip-hop rap artists, and I've always wanted to see him live because he was a huge part of my high school and summertime. We would just listen to all of his songs, all my buddies and I driving around blasting Kid Cudi, and I cannot wait to see him live. I'm definitely going to buy tickets very soon. The tickets go on sale on April 3rd. It's actually the pre-sale, and it's through the Another Planet Entertainment, which is putting on the concert, is doing a pre-sale. And the password is Shaker. Shaker. So, if you want to get the tickets early on April 3rd, the password is, again, Shaker. And you put that into the Ticketmaster. It'll ask for a code, and you put in Shaker. And the sales for just the general public go on April 4th. So I would actually really take advantage of that pre-sale because I've noticed that concerts with big-name artists like Kid Cudi or Lana Del Rey, like the two tickets that I ended up using the pre-sale for because I really wanted tickets, and sure enough, they sold out in minutes after the pre-sale. When the public tickets went on sale, they sold out in minutes. So I was very happy I did the pre-sale. So if you want Kid Cudi tickets, I would highly suggest doing the pre-sale. So he's also touring with a guy named G-Eazy. Now, G-Eazy was another rap artist that was a big part of my high school because all of my friends listened to him, and I had the chance to see him multiple times, but I've never actually been able to go. He's come to Sacramento a few times, where I'm originally from, and G-Eazy is just a very, very... He's genuinely good, and he raps about things that truly matter. It's not just like, I went to the club and all that kind of stuff. It has more meaning to it and deeper meaning, and I think that's why Cudi probably chose G-Eazy to go on the tour with him, because Kid Cudi is a lot of the same way. He's all about expressing himself and going onto that deeper level of music and tying in emotion and things like that into his music. And Kid Cudi, I do have to say, I love his first two albums. Absolutely love them. Man on the Moon 1 and Man on the Moon 2 are some of the greatest hip-hop albums of all time, in my opinion, because they're so well tied together. They have so much meaning behind them, and they're just incredible. And I listened to them probably 1,000 times over each, and they're some of my favorite albums of all time. But Kid Cudi, unfortunately, has changed quite a bit over the years. He made an album with a band called I forget the band's name, but he instead of just doing solo work, he made a band called Wizard. And he did an album for Wizard, and it was okay. It wasn't fantastic. It was okay. Again, he really wanted to change his style, and so he went with Wizard, and then he came back to doing solo work, and he came out with an album called Immortal, I believe. So, oh no, apologies, not Immortal. It's called Indicud. And when he came out with that album, I bought it instantly because I loved Man on the Moon 1, Man on the Moon 2, so I expected this next solo album to be just like those. And I was very sad to put it in and listen to it, and it wasn't anything like it. It was something completely new. And it's one of those things where you really have to wrap your mind around it, because you have to think from Kid Cudi's point of view. He had two very successful albums that were very similar, yet different in some ways, but very similar, and it was his particular style. But like with anything, you're going to want to change your style over time, like any band would. I mean, it makes a lot of sense why he would change his style. It's more of a trippy is the only word I can think of it. It's more of trying to activate different kind of receptors in your brain, almost, I want to say, because it's very trippy. He plays a lot of weird kind of noises. It's trying to bring a side out of you that would almost like feel like drugs or something, almost, because it's very trippy kind of style of music. So Kid Cudi released Indicud, and it's awesome, but it's not the same as his first two albums, so it was just a surprise for me. And then now he just released a new album, I believe. I'm blanking on the name here. Hold on, let me look it up real fast. I had it memorized until now, but then it's called Satellite Flight. Satellite Flight is what it's called. And I just listened to the whole thing all the way through. And again, it is much different than any album he's done before. It's fun in that it's Kid Cudi's new style, and it's a lot calmer than his earlier stuff. Again, I think he's trying to let out some kind of sorrow, emotion through this album. He's always been very personal and talks all about his problems in his songs, so I think it's his, almost his form of therapy. But it's interesting because almost half the songs on the album, I want to say four or five songs in the album, don't even have words in them. They're instrumentals, and they're almost kind of linking the songs together. But even then, they don't flow too well together. They're not as connected like they were on Man on the Moon 1, Man on the Moon 2. So I was slightly disappointed when I listened through the album, and it was just not the same Cudi that I wanted so badly. And apparently Man on the Moon 3 is in the works, so hopefully that will just be unbelievable, because I really want to have one more Kid Cudi album that was just like the first two. And he has been working on Man on the Moon 3 for quite some time. I think he's been doing these other things on side projects, and he announced that he thinks Man on the Moon 3 will be the greatest musical release of all time. Now, that's a very, very bold statement to say, though I do believe Kid Cudi, if anybody, could pull it off. So, very, very excited, hopefully, to see him at Bill Graham Civic Auditorium on Friday, May 23rd. Again, tickets go on sale April 3rd with the password Shaker, and then they go on sale for the public on April 4th. So, again, even though I'm not a huge supporter of his newest albums, just for those old memories that I still cling on to, I'm going to definitely buy tickets and go to the show. So now on to Outside Lands. Now, Outside Lands, I'm so excited. The lineup for Outside Lands is supposedly going to go up fairly soon here. Now, what they've done in the past is Coachella, another music festival in Southern California, is going on, I believe it's April 19th to, it's two weekends. I know that for sure. And I don't think legally Outside Lands is allowed to release their lineup until after that show happens, because I don't think they want ticket sales of either show to be affected. Because if someone saw that an artist was playing at Coachella but was also playing at Outside Lands, they might not want to go to both. They'd only want to go to one of them. And so I think it's more beneficial for Coachella. I'm not really sure what Outside Lands is getting out of it, but I know there's certain rules and laws when it comes to releasing lineups for festivals and stuff like that, so they don't compete with each other. But the Coachella lineup looks incredible. I would love to see almost half of everybody that's on that lineup, but I can't wait. But generally, the what's happened in the past is the lineup for Outside Lands comes out after weekend one of Coachella. So that, and I just looked up the dates. The weekend one for Coachella is April 11th through April 13th. So I would guess that the lineup for Outside Lands would come up April 14th or April 15th or something along those lines, which I'm incredibly, incredibly excited for, because I already have my ticket, like I said. So if I don't like the lineup, I'm kind of screwed here. But I've never regretted buying tickets in the past because it's always been a great time, no matter what band, who's there. It doesn't even matter. It doesn't matter whatsoever. Just because you're there with your friends and you're just hanging out all day listening to just great musical artists, and they're just blowing your mind the whole day, and you eat incredible food because there they have incredible food vendors, though they're a little pricey. They're a little pricey, I'm not going to lie, but incredible food and just a great experience. And the other people there generally are very nice, though like any kind of, whenever you get a large amount of people together, there's guaranteed to be some jerks within that group. There has to be. If you're getting, Outside Lands is around 100,000 people. So whenever you get a group of 100,000 people together, I guarantee you there are going to be jerks in that group somewhere. Probably a few thousand of them are jerks. So you have to go into that expecting that there are going to be some people that are not that nice. But the majority of the people are just there the same reason you are, to have fun, have a great time, and just listen to music and enjoy themselves. So you don't really have to worry too much about other people there. But I was on the boards for message boards for Coachella, and there was an Outside Lands little topic in discussion, and there's a guy on there who was completely right about the lineup last year and the year before that for Outside Lands. And so, and he said he expected the headliners to be Kanye West, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, and the Killers to be the headliners, with Arctic Monkeys subheadlining one of those nights. So, and he was completely correct in the past 2 years on the headliner. So I'm not saying anything, but I'm saying I think this definitely could be the lineup. I don't want to say for sure, but I think that is a very good guess considering those are all on tour and just have a huge fan base, especially in the Bay Area. And I've heard Kanye West puts on an incredible show. And also Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, I mean, how could you not love Free Fallin' and that whole album? Just absolutely incredible. And then Arctic Monkeys. My girlfriend is a huge, huge Arctic Monkeys fan. So, and right now we have tickets to go see Outside Lands. So I think I'll definitely be at the stage seeing Arctic Monkeys because she's such a huge fan. And I think I'd be very interested to see Kanye. Even though I'm not his biggest fan, I respect him as an artist. And I think that he can put out good music, especially when he tries. And I've heard his shows are just downright incredible. I'm not a huge Killers fan. I have nothing against them either. I haven't listened to them, so I'm not knowledgeable enough to form an opinion on them. So I can't wait for Outside Lands. It's so fun. The way Outside Lands is set up is that there's four stages. I believe there's a stage called Sutro Stage, and it's right as you come into the venue, and it's either the second or third biggest stage, and it's a huge stage, and it's where more of the acoustic people play. Like last year, I saw Milo Green there, I saw Dispatch there, Of Monsters and Men were there, so it's more the acoustic style, not like the electric guitar and stuff like that. So that's more the acoustic kind of thing. And then there's the Land's End stage, which is the main stage, and it is massive. It is downright incredible to see. It is huge, because basically you're getting almost 75,000 people there at any one given time, because last year there was Paul McCartney, and who's not going to go see Paul McCartney? So everybody and their mother that was at Outside Lands was out there seeing Paul McCartney. So that was incredible. And then in the far, far back, they have what's called the Twin Peaks stage. And I've always called this the rave stage, because that's where all the electronic artists play. And I saw Skrillex there. I saw Justice there. Who else? Zedd. Countless other. Bauer, the guy who did Harlem Shake. I've seen countless electronic artists there. And it's a very good stage. It's actually a little smaller than the Sutro stage. So, but it's amazing still. The Panhandle stage is kind of like the little, it's a little stage. It's I saw it's for less popular bands. Like I saw Miss Mister there, and they're not really, they're pretty popular, so they actually, the whole stage was kind of overwhelmed with people. I would say there was a couple thousand people there when it's only really supposed to hold a few hundred. So that was an incredible experience, and we were in the front row kind of being suffocated, but it was a lot of fun. But the Panhandle stage is again for the smaller bands, and they have what's awesome about Outside Lands is they have all these different things at the last little section of the main stage, like way down. It has a whole line of booths with water and food and all that great stuff, and then they have like a little almost art gallery there at the end where they display people's art, and people are painting there as you speak. Like it's just as you walk by, someone's just like making this massive painting or sculpture. It's awesome. And then they have a place called Choco Lands where you can get your dessert on, and it's just delectable desserts from all over San Francisco, and they set up booths, and it's incredible. How they do the food there is they get a bunch of famous restaurants and just delicious restaurants from the San Francisco area to come and set up shop right there within Outside Lands, and it is so delicious. So delicious. So I think that's all we're going to talk about for Outside Lands today. We're going to take a quick break, and then when we get back, we're going to talk about some crazy and outrageous news stories once again. So, all right, this is Cameras by Matt and Kim.
Yeah.
We are back with Bizarro on radio.dominican.edu. My name is DJ Hafo, and we're going to talk about some crazy and outrageous news stories. So, apparently, you can sell anything on eBay nowadays. And a man in London is actually selling twigs on eBay, but he's calling them unique twigs. And it's actually attracting bidders. He says that they each have their own personality and are from Dubois Square in England, so Dubois Square in London, with a starting price of 99 pence. So, obviously, you think this guy would be crazy and that no one would bid on this, but the twigs actually are appearing to be in high demand with the bids over 25 euros and they're rising. And he's also charging the winning bidder €3.25 for postage and packaging. So that's just crazy that you can sell twigs on YouTube. Now, this is actually not the first time I've seen something like this. I remember probably 5 or 6 years ago when I was just browsing eBay, I actually saw that a man was selling a Dr. Pepper can. Nothing special about it. He gave it actually an awesome story. He put like an adventure that the Dr. Pepper can went through in the description of the item, and it was just an empty, plain old Dr. Pepper can, and he said it went on some adventure. It rolled off a cart. It went under a bus. It took a trip to Hawaii, then back. It was a bunch of crazy things like that. And the Coke can, the Dr. Pepper can, actually ended up selling for over $200, an empty Dr. Pepper can. See, the thing is that there are way too many people willing to spend money on stupid things like twigs. Twigs? That is just unbelievable. Unbelievable. Because I'm sitting here as a broke college student thinking, I could use that money. Why don't you donate it to something good or give it to some college students or something that need it? Because twigs, I'll give you like 80 twigs for 25 euros. I don't even care. I need money right now. And so I don't understand why someone would actually pay that much for just random twigs coming from London. But, you know, it's an expensive area, I guess. Even the twigs sell for a lot. So who knows? Our next news story is kind of scary. Coffee is now being smoked and it's becoming very popular among teenagers. So, apparently they're getting their caffeine fix in a way never thought before. They're smoking it. Coffee smoking is a dangerous trend that could be going viral among teens. I just don't understand where the appeal is, apparently. Apparently they get all the caffeine rush and everything, and I guess it's cool, but who knows what that'll do to your lungs. Burning anything and inhaling into your lungs probably isn't the best. But this is something that's probably not even studied. I've never even heard of smoking coffee at all. Apparently it's been around for a while, but it's recently gone viral and it's picked up in the recent weeks. And there's actually websites now that teach people how to step-by-step roll their own caffeine joint. So I don't even know what to say about that, because it seems that it's dangerous in some weird way. I mean, because you can probably, I know you can overdose on caffeine, that's definitely a thing, and who knows if you get more of it from smoking it, or who knows, but people have reported that they've had trouble breathing, dizziness, vomiting, and even hallucinations after they smoked their coffee. So I even feel weird saying that, smoking coffee. I don't know, it's weird. But I mean, of course you're probably going to have trouble breathing. You're inhaling smoke. And not only smoke, it's smoke that's untested. Like, we don't know what's wrong with inhaling coffee smoke. There could be something that's activated. I wouldn't think there'd be too much wrong. I mean, it's just a coffee bean that you're burning, but you never know. You never really know. I think it's a stupid trend, but people always do stupid things. Like the time when teenagers were somehow figuring out a way to, drink hand sanitizer. They were somehow altering hand sanitizer into a way to get drunk. And I remember that trend was going on for a while, and a kid died or something, and it just turned into a big event that didn't need to happen, because logically you can go, oh, that's supposed to clean my hands. I should probably not put that in my mouth. And end of story. That should have been it. But instead, people got sick and someone died, and so it's just one of those stupid trends. Another trend that you need to watch out for is smoking alcohol. Now, I don't want to explain how it works because it's easily found on the internet, but I don't want to explain how it works because I don't want to support anyone doing it because it is very dangerous. Basically, what happens is you get a pressurized container and it vaporizes the alcohol within it, and you can pop the top and inhale it. And it's very easy to do because anyone can do it in their own home, and it's a very sketchy situation because the thing with when you're drinking, you drink, and if you drink too much, your body gets rid of it by throwing up. The problem when you inhale alcohol is your body can't get rid of it. It's not in your stomach, it's in your bloodstream, and your body can't throw up your whole bloodstream. I mean, it's in your bloodstream. So if you overdose with alcohol, or you just drink too much, or you inhale too much, there's nothing they can do other than try to flush out your system, which isn't guaranteed to work. And people have died doing this. And the reasoning behind inhaling alcohol is that you don't get any of the calories from the alcohol. So it's women trying to watch their figure. It's just kids trying to do something new and cool. And it's a very dumb trend, in my opinion, because it's dangerous. Not only inhaling alcohol is not good for your lungs. I don't know if that's a fact, but I can just almost promise you inhaling alcohol into your lungs is probably not a good idea. It just seems like a stupid idea to me. But anyway, on to our next news story. This one is insane. So it's tough to imagine an outdoor tryst without ending much worse than this. At the bottom of a well with hypothermia setting in. But firefighters say that's exactly what happened to Ciudad Real in Ciudad Real, Spain, on Friday night when a 21-year-old woman and a similarly unidentified man decided to have sex atop a boarded-up 50-foot water wheel well shaft. That's right. A couple had sex on top of a 50-foot water wheel well shaft. And unfortunately, while they were doing the deed, one of the boards broke loose and she fell 30 feet into water. And the guy booked it. He left. He left her there. And left. And so basically, she was just sitting there swimming. And hopefully, police got an anonymous call saying that someone was in a well somewhere, and so I guarantee that was probably the guy. And he felt bad about just leaving her there, but he never showed up, and it was an anonymous call, so they still don't know who the guy was, I guess. But I just can't believe, as a guy, I would never, if someone fell 30 feet into water, I wouldn't just be like, see ya. I would definitely go help. It just seems ridiculous to me how someone could leave them. But again, a 50-foot water wheel well shaft is not a good place to be either. I mean, there's plenty of other places. At least find a couch or something to do the nasty, but people will always do weird things. if there's one thing I've learned on this show is that people are extremely weird, and there's no other way around it, because people will do some crazy things with their life. You just never know what people are going to do. On to our next news story, 100 cats were rescued from a Houston home. So, police received an anonymous tip that led officers to the home of elderly twin sisters on Thursday. Responders found more than 100 cats in various states of poor health amid the squalor. Animal waste was piled 4 feet high in some places, and some of the cats had burrowed into the filth. When I opened the door, there was trash and feces everywhere, and everything in the home was covered in stuff, SPA spokeswoman Mira Nandhal told ABC News. The smell of ammonia of the and feces and urine not only spewed out of the room when you entered the house, but you could even smell it from the street. She said, that is disgusting to me. And the thing that I find most disturbing about this is, that's 100 cats is a lot. That is a ton of cats to just have living there. And the sisters were living there. There's no way that could be a healthy form of living with poop everywhere. And some of the cats were suffering immensely, and they were like balding and stuff like that. So that blows my mind how you could even live with 100 cats. My guess is that these elderly women didn't even they weren't going out and just finding cats. My guess would be they started off with quite a bit to begin with, and then they started mating, and da-da-da-da-da-da, and then they suddenly had 100 cats. So that would be my best guess as to what happened here, because how do you end up with 100 cats? I mean, that's ridiculous. Some people, I don't think they meant to have 100 cats, and my guess is they probably didn't even realize the horribleness of what was happening, but I'm looking at pictures of the house, and it's disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. So, on to our next news story. A smoke detector in a 25-year-old Kansas City woman's apartment above a tattoo parlor was apparently detecting a little more than just smoke. A friend visiting her apartment noticed it looked just like the one from the box of spy cameras disguised as smoke detectors he had seen in the basement of the business where he worked. The woman called police Saturday, unleashing an investigation that revealed her apartment was rigged with 11 cameras, including 4 in her bathroom, recording her every move. Officers first examined the detector in the kitchen and realized it would not open and to replace a battery like a normal smoke detector would. They removed the detector from the ceiling and found it was connected to 3 wires. Police found 3 similar detectors in the living room, hallway, and in the victim's bedroom. The victim's roommate's room had a normal smoke detector and didn't have any cameras in it. Officers found a bundle of wires in the victim's closet leading to a gray pipe that extended down through the tattoo parlor and into the basement to some shelves. When the officers moved boxes from shelves, they found a computer monitor which revealed 7 video screens showing the interior of the victim's apartment. 4 of the screens were black. Those were from the smoke detectors that the police had removed. The other screens led police to find 3 other cameras hidden behind pinholes in the victim's bedroom. This story creeps me out to no end. That is so creepy to do ever. I mean, to think that someone was watching her every move and she didn't know it. And for a long time, too. This was probably months into her living there. That is so creepy to me. That is so creepy. And how someone could even set that up. That's an elaborate operation. 11 cameras? That is elaborate to have all set up there. And it's really, really creepy. So I don't even know what to say about this. Hopefully they find the guy. The victim told the police she had lived in the apartment since last summer. She said her landlord had asked her out, and propositioned her several times, in which she declined. The victim told police her 47-year-old landlord, who was also her boss, had remodeled her bathroom in October when she was out of town. So there it is. The landlord is the disgusting pervert. Oh my gosh, that's so disgusting. That's just invading people's privacy on a whole new level. And I hate to end the show on that note, but unfortunately, it is 5 o'clock. It is time to end the show. Thank you very much for listening. You've been listening to Bizarro on radio.dominican.edu. I'm DJ Hafo, and I thank you very much for listening. I can't wait to catch you next week.
Eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin. And there's no telling who that it's naming. Was the loser now will be later to win. For the times they are a-changing. Come senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't lock up.